going to say Alleluia, but we just did that an awful lot. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Please be seated. Earlier this week, I was talking with one of my friends about church, because that's all I talk about, right? And I said that I wished everyone who didn't go to church could know what it was like. I wish that everyone knew what a gift it was to experience God in their lives the way that the church teaches us to experience God in the fullness of the Trinity. God the Father guiding us, God the Son walking alongside us, and God the Holy Spirit inspiring us. I said, I wish that everyone who didn't have a church could feel what a relief it is to have this group of people around who are willing and able to help when we need help and who have learned to accept our help that we can give so graciously. And I said, I didn't know how anyone could live without it. Certainly, I don't know how I could have lived without it. The irony, of course, is that for a long time in my life, I was one of those who didn't know what it was like. And I might not have believed it if anyone had told me. I had to experience church for myself. Most of you know that I came to the church as an adult. I'd always believed in God, but I knew only the very most basic facts about Jesus and nothing at all about what the church was supposed to be. My new life and growth in the church was initiated and directed by Christ, no doubt, but it was supported and nurtured by the community of the church, and it still is. So at the very first church service that I ever attended of my own accord, feeling very visible and very obviously new to the whole thing, I was tempted to just scoot out real quick after the service was over. I was a little apprehensive that I was going to be surrounded by people and maybe given some paperwork or have to make some commitment to them right away or fill out a form, something, I don't know. I thought I could just gracefully disappear and maybe come back the next week. But they had food. They had food set out after the service, and some of it looked really good. And I thought, well, I'll just have a little piece of this coffee cake. I'll eat it quickly over there in the corner by myself, and then I'll leave. But the priest came over as I was reaching for my slice of cake, and of course I couldn't ignore her. And it turned out that she was very low-key and also very kind. She didn't have an agenda, she just wanted to meet me. And then a few more people wanted to meet me, and they didn't have any paperwork or information forms for me to fill out. And as I talked to them, I could hear, kind of in my peripheral hearing, these other conversations going on. How's your mom doing? How's your son doing at school? How are you doing? I could hear people sharing real experiences with each other. And it sounded a little bit like what I'd heard at the prayers of the people, but more so. It was still part of the church service. So I went back the next week, and the next, and so on. I learned about their lives, and they learned about mine, and we were church together. And every church I've ever attended and served has been like that. You have church together, and then you are church together. That's the way church should be. I know that on the days where my spiritual energy is low, somebody else is going to have enough to share. I know that if anybody here lacks anything, material or spiritual, the first priority of our church community will be to fill in the gaps with real help and real shared resources and real relationships. When we've realized that we need education and practice around scripture or justice or the individual struggles of our own congregation and how it affects all of us, we acknowledge that. And then we gather up that education and the knowledge that we need together. There will always be more to learn and to share. And I know that if you come here with a heavy load of grief, you can throw it down, and we'll all pitch in to help you carry it more easily. And here's a community miracle for you. If you come here with lots of joy, and you lay that joy down in front of us, we'll help you multiply it even more and spread it all around. And with material goods, when you have more than you need, you bring it here, and will find places and people who need what you have to give. Most of all, though, as a church, most of all, what we hope to do is to grow the Holy Spirit within each one of us, to grow and increase and strengthen the faith we have, no matter how great or how small. In the beginning of my own life in the church, I had no idea that a group of people so widely different from me and from each other could be together in that way and could care for each other in that way. I had no idea that God would show up for me and then for all of us in just that way. And I don't know if I would have believed it if you told me that before I had the chance to experience it for myself. And when we look at the gospel today, we can see that that's exactly what happened for Thomas in this little community in the very beginning, before the church as we would think of it ever even existed. Jesus appears to the disciples, whole and real, his resurrected physical body, breathing the Spirit into them with his perfectly human and perfectly divine breath. But not to all the disciples, because Thomas misses out. And when he hears about what's happened, he just can't believe it. He just can't believe it, but be honest. Have you ever just not believed the spiritual claims of someone else? Be honest. Has someone related a deeply felt, totally candid, utterly honest experience of God to you, and you thought, cool story? But I'm not so sure. It wasn't me. I wasn't there. Even if you've had your own remarkable encounters with God, sometimes you hear about somebody else's and it's hard to believe. That's part of being human. Now here's where church and community and real sharing of friendship and faith come in. Because have you ever heard of communities of faith that insist that you believe what they believe right off the bat with no questions asked? Have you ever heard someone speak about a person or a group of people that rejected them for their lack of faith or refused to admit to them their own need for growth? If you don't think Jesus came and spoke to us, Thomas, then you should just get out right now. What a terrible beginning to the church that would have been. We don't know what the disciples' exact response to Thomas was, but we do know that they didn't exclude him after that. We do know that they must have encouraged him to stick around and to wait and see. What if they'd left him on his own? Of course, you can and should find ways to build up your faith as an individual as well as in community, but to do it all by yourself is never what God intended for us. And when someone is doing the difficult work of faith building, and if they are kicked out of a group that should be embracing them and lifting them up, is it any wonder that that person might swear off the process altogether? One of the most important sentences in that whole gospel reading is this one. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Thomas was with them. He wasn't booted out. He continued the work of prayer, of faith building, of discerning just how they should move forward after Jesus' death. He was not excluded from the process. He was just as much a part of what they were doing as he had been before. He should be given credit for his persistence and effort despite his doubt. And maybe having someone with those doubts helps them to think of the questions that they're going to face in the future. The disciples remain steadfast in their mission of building faith in community. And Jesus affirms this work in the last thing he says to them all when he visits them again. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Blessed are you when you wait and see. Blessed are you when your faith is allowed to grow and when it's fostered by the people around you. At this church I was talking about, where I was baptized as an adult, there were a lot of people who allowed my faith to grow slowly and who fostered it gently and adopted me into that family. There was one couple in particular who spent a lot of time with me and answered my questions, some of them, most of them, and asked a few questions of their own, and they just loved me. Harriet and Fred Myers. And Fred was a Eucharistic minister. So about a month, maybe 6 weeks after I was baptized and had started taking communion, I came up, I got the bread, I stepped over to Fred to get the wine, I reached out to guide the cup, I looked at him as he said, the blood of Christ and the cup of salvation, and something happened. I don't know how to describe it except to say that I saw Jesus. It wasn't like an image of Jesus superimposed on Fred's face, and it wasn't like Fred's face changed into Jesus's face, but Jesus was there, and I saw him. At that same moment, it might have looked as though both of us experienced a mild electric shock, because I stepped back, and Fred kind of bobbled the chalice. He almost dropped it, and we both went, and then it was over. And I took my sip of wine, and I went back to the seat. And afterwards, I went up to Fred at coffee hour, and I said, he said, I did. He put up his hand. He said, I can't talk about it. And some of you might be thinking, wow, that kind of thing has happened to me before. I believe that. Some of you might be thinking, okay, I've never heard of anything like that happening before, but it could happen. And some of you might be thinking, cool story. Not so sure I believe it. All of these are valid responses. The faith and the doubt and everything in between come together to form the church. You are blessed in the midst of your doubt, all of you. The church is blessed when you are persistent and patient with each other. Because what church is not is a bunch of people who agree with each other all the time. Ask our vestry. Church is not a bunch of people who agree with God all the time. Church is a bunch of people with all kinds of different ideas, different stages of faith and belief, neither of which remains static throughout our lives. We're human beings who need each other, who need the shared joy and grief, need the shared processes of education and work, and need those shared encounters of faith and doubt. We need each other. We need God. And we need other people to know that that is what the church is meant to do. That is what we are meant to do. So let us go forth and do it together and with God. Amen.